Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Romil, and I'm the IR consultant for the company, and I will be the moderator for today's call. On behalf of the management of ASM Pacific Technology, I would like to welcome all of you to ASM Pacific Technology's fourth quarter and full year FY 2021 investor conference call. We would like to thank you all for your interest and continued support in the company. Before we begin with the presentation, let me highlight some housekeeping rules. To facilitate the identification process, please kindly provide your company's name and your name as your display name if you haven't done so. All participants will be muted to ensure good sound quality when the management is presenting. For the Q&A session, please either use the raise hand function, and we will allow you to unmute yourself for you to ask your question, or type your question in the chat to ASMPT-Q&A, and we will read out the question on your behalf. When asking questions, please limit to two to three questions at your turn and ask your questions one by one for the management to answer properly. You may join the queue again in case you have more questions. We will start the Q&A only after the management has gone through the entire presentation. We endeavor to answer all questions during the Q&A session, but due to time constraint, priority will be given to the covering analysts. In case we are unable to answer your question during the call, we will follow up with you through emails, or if you have more questions, then please feel free to email us with your questions and we will attend to those. Please do note that during this conference call, there may be forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific Technology's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements could involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks that could cause actual results, performance, and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For your reference, the investor relations presentation related to our recent results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. Robin Ng, the Group CEO, and Mr. Justin Tham from Investor Relations and Economic Research. Robin will begin with a brief discussion and key highlights about our latest results. Then he will provide some color to the financial performance. This will be followed by an update on the prospects and outlook, and then we will open the floor for Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand the time over to Robin, please.
Thanks, Rom. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before proceeding with the details of our performance for 2021, let me offer my sincere wishes for your continued safety and health, even as we gradually arise from the shadows cast by COVID-19. I'm pleased to say that we have managed to achieve exceptional results in 2021 and to show sustained momentum and progress in deepening our leadership as a leading global supplier of hardware and software solutions for semiconductor and electronics manufacturing. Let me emphasize that these milestones have only been made possible through the continued commitment, focus, and skillful execution of our strategic initiative and plans. Here, the leadership team and I continue to remain deeply indebted to our team of more than 11,700 people across the world. Let me now describe some of the highlights that shaped our business in 2021. As you can see here, there are a number of key developments that characterize our business in 2021. First, some color on our record-breaking financial performance. Please note that the figures in the group and the semi-segment financial review sections have excluded one-off items to provide a more meaningful analysis of the group's financial performance. As you can see from this overview, we had an exceptional year. Firstly, I want to highlight the record earnings per share of 7.72 Hong Kong dollars on the right of this slide, a powerful indicator of our profitability and value as an industry leader. We also achieved a number of new highs. We record revenue of $2.82 billion, record bookings of $3.36 billion, and record net profit of 3.24 billion Hong Kong dollars. Our exceptional results were in part enabled by the very strong first full year performance of our strategic joint venture, Advanced Assembly Materials International Limited, or AAMI, in 2021. We achieved an EPS of 7.72 Hong Kong dollars for fiscal year 2021. This represents a significant 94.5% growth over fiscal year 2020, and is also a record high for the group. Let me provide more color on our group financial results. Our group's record full-year revenue of $2.82 billion represented year-on-year growth of 49.3%. Our strong revenue performance was driven by a few macroeconomic growth trends that you can see here. Overall, these have created heightened demand for silicon content and contributed to the performance for ASMPT throughout 2021. Let me share that in the face of this positive momentum, we also executed excellently in the face of a dynamic global supply chain environment that still continues to prevail. We achieved this in several ways. First, capacity allocation. When the manufacturing utilization reached record levels, we were able to achieve a significantly higher proportion of our external manufacturing capacity to respond dynamically. It is safe to say we would have delivered even higher output if not for these ongoing industry-wide supply chain challenges. Second, we shifted to just-in-case inventory management to strengthen our supply chain resilience for some key components. And finally, we balanced these measures with the strategic adjustment of our selling prices where feasible in order to relieve the inevitable cost pressures from some component price increases, not to mention increased logistic costs. In terms of bookings, we experienced a record year of $3.36 billion, representing year-on-year growth of 65.6%. And here, both our SEMI and SMT business segments achieved record bookings, with SEMI comprising the majority. Our gross margin of 40.6% was a 427 bps expansion year-on-year, and our operating margin was 18.9%, representing a very strong year-on-year expansion of 1,007 bps. This strong margin performance was mainly due to both our SEMI and SMT segments achieving stronger gross margins and higher operating leverage as a result of both record deliveries and margin accretive effects from some of the strategic initiatives that I will share more about later in this presentation. Let me also emphasize that we achieved this strong margin improvement in the face of cost impact from component price increase and higher logistic costs, and these trends have not abated. Let's look at the group fourth quarter performance. Our revenue of $796 million exceeded our guidance of $720 million to $770 million. This is a strong 43.9% year-on-year increase in revenue, anchored in our consistent and excellent execution of our business. Q4 bookings of $674 million were a group record for fourth quarter as well, increasing 25% year-on-year, but dipping 8.2% Q-on-Q. However, this dip was largely due to a high base effect from a high Q3 booking level and general seasonality trends for a fourth quarter. Please note that this quarter's bookings still remain elevated compared to the Q4 levels of our prior years. Group gross margin of 41.3% was a year-on-year improvement of 588 bps and slight Q-on-Q improvement of 76 bps. Operating margin of 20% was a year-on-year improvement of 976 bps. This year-on-year improvement was largely due to relatively stronger gross margin performance across both our SEMI and SMT segments. Let me add that group net profit, which includes the shares of results from AMI, achieved record Q4 levels of 976 million Hong Kong dollars, a year-on-year improvement of 182.5%. Our SEMI segment quarterly performance was good, with robust year-on-year revenue growth, encouraging revenue drivers across its business units, strong year-on-year margins improvement, and a quarterly record segment profit. Q4 bookings remain elevated in line with general seasonality trends. Our SMT segment's Q4 2021 performance was characterized by bookings achieving $360 million, a healthy year-on-year and Q-on-Q increase. Also, demand from its key automotive and industrial markets continued into Q4. Let me mention a point here that full-year SMT segment profit also achieved a record of HK$1.38 billion. This is nearly 110% year-on-year increase. This slide shows the breadth of the markets and customers which the group serves. Let me now share some positive developments from a progressive but structural shift towards higher growth markets of advanced packaging over time. Our diverse advanced packaging or AP portfolio is very broad, from wafer level to die level high accuracy placement tools and SiP placement tools, and spans a wide range of packaging technologies. This visual representation at the bottom of this slide should give you a sense of the breadth of solutions that we possess in this space. AP solutions revenue for fiscal year 2021 was approximately $590 million, representing 35% year-on-year growth. A book-to-bill ratio of 1.15 for AP is higher than for the year 2020. Overall, we are seeing a broadening of our customer base and widening customer adoption of a comprehensive AP solution that spans both semi and SMT segments. Consequently, we added a significant number of AP customers in fiscal year 2021. I would like to highlight the progress with our hybrid bonding solutions. They are on track for delivery this year for qualification by leading Tier 1 customers. We assess that our hybrid bonding tools will begin delivering meaningful contributions for us from year 2023 onwards, closely aligned with our customers' ramp-up plans. Our sustained investment in hybrid bonding reflects our strong intention to capture a sizable share of this market. Let me now talk about our TCB leadership and momentum. Over the last few years, our chip-to-substrate TCB tools have been the tool of record at leading Tier 1 customers. And these workhorse TCB tools continue to dominate the share of global installations. Supported by a broadening customer base and greater customer adoption, our TCB platform is bringing some exciting opportunities that will help further cement our dominant market position. As you can see here, we recently secured a significant order for a new generation chip-to-wafer TCB tools. The win is nearing $100 million over the next 2 years, and a significant portion of this will be delivered this year. We have scaled up both additional manufacturing site and capacity to deliver this next generation chip-to-wafer TCB tools. This significant win highlights how our cutting-edge TCB innovations are boosting near-term performance. It is also a strong indication of our technology leadership in the 3D packaging space. Looking ahead, the bullish capital investment plans from leading semiconductor companies should bode well for our continued leadership as a partner of choice for innovative TCB tools of the future, such as the work we are presently doing to enable finer solder bump pitch below 30 micron for thermal compression bonding. This will help them meet the increasingly demanding requirements from advanced applications such as high-performance computing. We expect the first of these future generation prototypes to be delivered by the second half of this year. Let me now speak about some exciting growth opportunities for our business. There's no doubt that automotive electrification will intensify and establish itself as a multi-year growth driver. In this slide, you can get a sense of a unique and comprehensive automotive solution that spans semi and SMT segment. This comprehensive solution range puts us in a good position to continue growing and capturing market share. Our automotive end market application contributed approximately $430 million to Group 2021 revenue. This is more than double last year's contribution. We have also added a significant number of new customers in 2021 that have qualified our tools. We believe this will help generate significant opportunities for us going forward. Let me now cover some developments in our advanced display unit that is part of our optoelectronics business unit within the semiconductor solution segment. With ongoing accelerated global digital transformation, the industry is an inflection point for advanced display before an imminent technology replacement wave. Ultra-fine pitch mini LED RGB and micro LED applications are progressively emerging to replace conventional displays across both commercial and high-end consumer devices. Mini and micro LED wafer demand is expected to expand at 5-year CAGR of 55%. We are also poised to benefit from the expanding addressable market with multiple engagement within our top-tier customers' development roadmaps. We have seen our customer base expanded significantly over the past 3 years. Across mainland China, Europe, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and the US, our customers have been increasing capital spending on mini and micro LED manufacturing requirements, deploying our broad suite of advanced integrated solutions. For mini LED, we added 17 customers in 2021, with 7 in high volume manufacturing phase. For the more nascent micro LED space, the vast majority of micro LED prototypes example worldwide use our best-in-class AD300 Pro 2, which is a multifunctional mass transfer commenced bonding tool and the tool of record for major customers in upcoming high volume production for micro LED applications. This slide gives you a flavor of how we are deeply entrenched into our customers' development roadmaps across mini LED and micro LED space. We make a strategic breakthrough in this hitherto underrepresented area for ASMPT, which is a sizable addressable market. In this, our efforts have been anchored by leading memory market customers who are adopting both our mainstream wire bond and advanced packaging tools for high volume manufacturing requirements in both conventional memory and high bandwidth applications. With a suite of tools to address memory packaging needs, some key developments here include a tier one memory player qualifying our TCB tool to produce HBM3 multi-die stack memory chips. In another development, our workhorse wire bond tool has been qualified to deliver high volume production of new generation NAND memory chips. This represents important developments in the expansion of our served markets, and we are confident about securing a strong position in this space. Our solutions are ubiquitous across many end market application areas, and demand continues to grow. This slide shows the approximate revenue contribution to fiscal year 2021 group revenue from each of the key end market areas to give you a sense of the spread of our solution across these industries. This slide gives a bit more color to the three end market application areas that more than doubled year on year in terms of revenue, namely automotive, consumer, and industrial. We expect the challenging supply chain environment to persist and impact the broader market in 2022. While this dynamic situation remains a concern, we are anchored by a strong order backlog and expect revenue for Q1 2022 to be between $640 million to $690 million, a record first quarter at the midpoint of this guidance. Let me now share about our development plans to progressively transform and prepare ASMPT to achieve a bright and a sustainable future. Our aim here is to help the investing and the general audience understand our business better and to provide some robust key takeaways on how we are supporting and driving ASMPT long-term performance. Let me now place these business transformation plans and strategic initiative in the context of how our business is being structured. We have a truly unique broad-based portfolio in the market. You can describe us as a total interconnect company, as we believe we are the only one in our space able to offer solutions that truly link the entire semiconductor packaging and assembly value chain. Our semi segment offers solutions ranging from deposition interconnect on wafer and substrate to first level die interconnect on wafer and substrate. And in turn, our SMT segment solutions cater for package interconnect onto PCB boards. As you can see from the center of this slide, our portfolio can be roughly divided into two broad areas. One, mainstream and application tools, and two, advanced packaging tools. First, our mainstream and applicative tools business typically has large install bases, providing scale that gives significant volume leverage and cash generation capabilities to fund innovation, expansion, operations, and more. Second, our advanced packaging tools business, which is a higher growth and higher margin segment, addressing more complex packaging requirements, with each having the potential to grow rapidly. Spanning this is a growing area of software solutions for smart manufacturing that we are also investing heavily. We are developing and supporting increased industry needs for automation, scheduling, and predictive monitoring, optimization, and analytics. Over time, this area has the potential to evolve into a key business in its own right. The interplay between these businesses in ASMPT enables what we term a virtuous cycle where resources make possible by the volume mainstream business that enables further development and progress of the high-growth innovation business. In addition, our unique broad-based portfolio is in turn being fueled by macroeconomic tailwinds that will provide a sustainable boost to our business for years to come, as you can see on the left-hand side of this slide. These tailwinds and our unique broad-based portfolio will drive our long-term performance sustainably. This consists of two elements. First, reduce the cyclical revenue and profitability that is typical of semiconductor and electronic manufacturing space. Second, create the condition for structural growth, revenue growth, and margin expansion that will form robust and enduring foundations for a bright and sustainable future for ASMPT and all its stakeholders. Riding on a strong performance and supported by the positive macroeconomic tailwinds I've described earlier, we confidently roll out strategic growth and cost optimization initiatives that will unfold in distinct phases over the next few years. Let me provide some color to this effort that we have alluded to in the past earnings calls. First, let me talk about our growth initiatives. These are structured by the business area that have been described in the previous slide. So in terms of a mainstream and applicative tools business, our growth focus is on increasing our market share in targeted areas, namely the high-end segment of the mainstream and applicative tools business. There are two strategic areas of activity here. First, we want to meaningfully expand into targeted adjacent market. The example you can see as shown here. For the memory market, I have shared earlier about strategic breakthrough into this underrepresented yet sizable space. This will benefit our mainstream tools in the near term, particularly for wire bonders. Next, in the ADAS or Advanced Driver Assistance System market, we aim to capture new opportunities more quickly in the automotive camera assembly and test solution space, assisted in no small way by tapping our newly acquired company, Automation Engineering Inc., or AEI, which is the market leader. Next, electric vehicles or EVs provide good growth opportunities that benefit our silver sintering solutions for durability and reliability. Other areas of opportunity for silver sintering include the energy and power semiconductor space. And finally, we aim to capture new opportunities for fuel cell manufacturing in the green energy space through our SMT segment's printing solutions. Our other focus area for mainstream and applicative tools business involves further strengthening of our strong market position through targeted product enhancement in the various areas that you can see here. The next growth area concerns our advanced packaging tool business. Here, our growth focus is to widen our technological leadership. This will be achieved primarily through intensifying our R&D support and resources into targeted areas. Here, there are two areas of strategic activity. First, we want to grow in the emerging market, and here are some examples. First, for high bandwidth memory, HBM3 memory is a key growth area with reduced power consumption and a smaller form factor. Our memory market breakthrough continues to be crucial here. We are anchored by a leading memory customer and are confident about capturing emerging high bandwidth memory opportunities for a TCB die stacking solution. Two, for mini and micro LEDs, our mass transfer and mass bonding solutions are ready to address customers' high volume manufacturing needs for the advanced display applications. For the system in package or SIP market, increasingly complex and demanding requirements will further drive demand for our SMT SIP placement tools, as well as our multi-chip module bonding solutions. And finally, HPC, or high performance computing, will drive demand for hybrid bonding solution, as I have shared earlier. We are expected to ramp this up for high volume manufacturing from 2023. The second strategic focus area under advanced packaging tool is to intensify investment in process innovation in order to widen our technological position in key process areas that are shown here. A third area of growth involves actualizing the AIoT-enabled smart factory of the future. In this regard, we have good foundation in place. We have enjoyed strong growth of a range of software solutions, including our MES or Manufacturing Execution System software suite. Our momentum here has been enabled by Industry 4.0, digitalization trends, and the increasing automation needs of electronics manufacturers. At the same time, we have developed a unique software-based framework we have termed AIoT, or Artificial Intelligence of Things, that basically consists of integrated software solutions that blend connectivity, monitoring, and analytics with AI-driven machine learning capabilities. We expect our combined efforts across our software business to progressively deliver significant value to our customers over time, positively impact the other areas of our business, and possibly evolve into a key business of its own. So these are the growth initiatives which we take up the majority of this slide's content. Let me now share briefly about the cost optimization strategic initiative that will help drive long-term sustainable operation excellence for us. Overall, there are two areas. One is to improve our product and operational cost structure, including procurement and design to cost action. Second is to enhance our manufacturing scalability and flexibility in both capacity and supply chain management. Here, we want to focus especially on achieving the optimal mix of internal and external manufacturing capabilities that will help us better navigate the peaks and troughs of a business cycle in this industry. We are confident that this growth and cost optimization initiative, which align closely to our unique and broad portfolio, will help drive and sustain ASMPT's significant and meaningful long-term performance. Looking at this slide, our own true cycle revenue growth over the past 11 years has stayed in tandem with the semiconductor device growth in general. This is a good foundation for ASMPT to possess, and we are confident that the efforts we're making to reduce this cyclicality even further will place us in good stead for the future. As you will discern from our strategic initiatives, sustained R&D investment is a critical part of our ability to deliver the required semiconductor and technology breakthroughs that will tap circular growth opportunities to create value for our customers and stakeholders. On average, our annual R&D spend was about 10% of equipment revenue. In 2021 alone, we spent $251 million US dollars on R&D. And today, we have generated close to 2,000 patents and pending patents as well. Subject to shareholders' approval for final dividend per share of $2.60 Hong Kong dollars per share, 2021 full-year dividend of $3.90 Hong Kong dollars per share is a 44% increase over 2020. Over the last 11 years, we have rewarded our shareholders with consistent and sustainable payout ratio of about 50%. Over the same period of time, we have paid out more than 80% of our cumulative free cash flow to shareholders. I hope that the time I've taken to share a little bit more about ASMPT development initiative and some key principles underpinning our business will be able to highlight our compelling value propositions. Basically, we have and continue to be able to generate strong and sustainable cash flow from our mainstream and applicative tools, fueled by bullish global semiconductor device unit growth prospects. Margin expansion continues as a result of a consistent and significant investment in R&D for both high growth and high margin advanced packaging and automotive market segment, and these are funded by strong cash flows. Our unique and broad-based portfolio is a strong advantage. It has enabled us to achieve a leadership position in key electronic sectors from the mid-end to the back-end to SMT. This cushions us from the cyclicality and volatility and helps underpin through cycle revenue and profitability growth. Last but not least, we have a consistent dividend payout ratio of 50% that provides attractive and sustainable returns to shareholders. We are fully confident that we have the right foundations, plans, and people in place to steer ASMPT into a bright and sustainable future. Thank you, and we are now ready for Q&A.
Thank you, Robin, for that. For the Q&A session, please either use the raise hand function, and we will allow you to unmute yourself for you to ask your question, or please type your question in the chat to ASMPT-Q&A, and we will read it out on your behalf. When asking questions, please limit to maximum 3 questions at your turn, and please ask your questions one by one for us to answer it properly. You may join the queue again in case you have more questions. For the first round of questions, can I request Lapping to unmute and ask your questions, please?
Okay. Thank you to take my question. Congratulate for the good results. So the first question is about your first quarter guidance. Can you provide some more color about your guidance between your two segments and between customer type? Okay. Are there any, since you are guiding for a sequential decline the first quarter, are there any business line which will show some positive growth this year? Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Let me read the first question again. You were asking more for the Q1 guidance, and you would want to know and get more color between the two segments and also on our customer types and the timings. And are there any businesses among our line of businesses which are showing positive growth for the guidance?
Thanks, Romel. Let me share some color. Yes, indeed, we are guiding at a midpoint $665 million. That is lower than Q4, but this is in line actually with seasonality trend. Q1 tend to be lower than Q4. And looking at Q4, the whole last year, actually, you know, we have 5 quarters of consecutive growth since Q4 2020. So it was a very strong performance last year and also Q4. So we are you know, comparing against also a very high base. Now, at 665 midpoint, as we have guided, nevertheless, it will still be a record Q1 for the group. And we believe it's also for both SEMI as well as SMT, looking at how, you know, the billing development has progressed so far. Let me put it that way. If not because of the supply chain constraints that we are still facing. You know, our bill, our Q1 billing could have been higher. So, you know, we have to take into account this very challenging supply chain environment. And also, not forgetting that the COVID-19 situation is still around and has disrupted, in our opinion, some readiness of our customers' new plans, and that also, to a certain extent, impacted, you know, our delivery timing for some of these tools. A little bit more color in terms of where we see the, you know, the end market application segment would be for at least for Q1. We think looking at the development so far, we feel that the automotive momentum is expected, you know, to continue for both the semi and the SMT segment. I think that's what I can share at this point in time, Leping.
Okay. Thank you. It's very useful. So the second question is about AP business. I think it's the first time if I remember correctly, disclose the full exact amount of AP business, and seems to be account for 20% of the total revenue. So can you share some color? What are the current application or end market for these AP products? And what will be the growth momentum for this AP revenue this year? I think, can we assume that this will be a higher proportion of the AP this year? Yes, thank you.
Let's put it that way, Leping. I think when you talk about proportion, we have to take into account the overall business of ASMPT. So last year, as you have noted, last year was a high year for us. You know, our revenue topped $2.8 billion. So our even our AP revenue has grown 35% year on year to US roughly around $590 million. Not a small amount, but of course you take into consideration a high base or denominator, it appears to be small. But more importantly, as we have highlighted, you know, our AP revenue has grown 35% year on year. Now, in terms of the application, we continue to see the deposition tools by our next business continue to be strong, you know. And this is in part because of the high performance computing requirements that require high-end multi-layer laminate substrate, we call it ABF substrates, you know, in order to be able to pack those devices for HPC. Now, those laminate substrate multi-layered requires our next tools, the deposits, RDLs, and also copper pillars, you know, in order to package those HI application, basically. So we see that momentum will continue for time to come. Of course, not forgetting TCB, as we have highlighted in our announcement and also in my call just now, we just won a recent order of nearing $100 million. This is really a testimony to our leadership position in TCB. And mind you, this is a new platform. So up to now, we have been supplying what we call a chip-to-substrate TCB tools, which are used to place a bigger die tool or module onto a substrate. But for chip-to-wafer, we are talking about placing smaller components, basically HI in heterogeneous integration onto a wafer first. You know, so these tools require higher precision, basically, and so it's a testimony that we won this sizable order from a leading tier one customer, you know, for their packaging needs. Besides these two, I must also highlight that our laser dicing and grooving tools have also taken off in a nice manner in 2021. You know, we have gained I would dare say we have gained some market share, you know, although it's still not a big business for us, but the progress of this dicing tool is very encouraging. Besides that, of course, I also highlighted, mini LED tools. We are seeing an inflection point as well. So this very high precision mini LED tools for mini RGB, for video wall, for displays, are also seeing very encouraging sign.
Thank you very much. Very clear, thank you.
Thank you, Loping. Can I next request Arthur from Citi to unmute yourself and ask your questions?
Hi, good morning. Thanks, Robin and Justin and Lennon. I noticed that you upgrade your presentation this time and then more informative. My first question is on the page 33. Bullet point two, you mentioned that highlight will be continue margin expansion. And look at the quarter four of last year, actually the margin already, returned to quite high level. So my question is, the margin is sustainable and or not? And how we achieve that? You also mentioned that there's a cost headwind. So I want to learn more. Thank you.
Right, Atha, let me repeat your question. So basically, your question is about our margins, and you did note that Q4 2022 margin was 2021 was reasonably high. So you would want to know from us whether the margins are sustainable and or not, and how we plan to achieve reasonable or high margins going forward.
Thanks, Ram.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Arthur, I think when we compare 2021 versus 2020, I think there is one area that we have to be cognizant about. Now, in 2021, it was a high year. As I say, our revenue reached $2.8 billion. And typically in a high cycle like this, it is the mainstream tools that provide the volume. That's why in one of our page and in our business model, we have mainstream applicative tools and we have advanced packaging tools. Now, we are unique in a sense that we are playing in both, high volume as well as a very niche advanced packaging tools area at the same time, So in a high cycle like 2021, what really provided the volume is really the mainstream tools. And as probably you're aware, mainstream tools, basically comprise tools like the wire bond. Now, wire bond is really a so-called tool that has been around for decades, and still very relevant, of course, still very relevant. And you don't expect wire bonder margin, to be high compared to the other tools. So as a result of this volume effect of wire bonders, the impact on the margin can be also quite significant. But having said that, on the full year, we have improved our margin for both the semi side as well as the SMT side. Now, all these programs that we have put in place, the strategic initiative that I took some pains to share with you guys earlier in my opening remark, will continue to uplift our margin over time. It's not going to be an immediate next quarter or two, because this growth initiative will take time to execute. So we are confident that over time, we will continue to see our margin improvement. And also, I must say that the fact that we are focusing on high growth, high margin area like automotive and advanced packaging, this will definitely help us to uplift also our margin over time. Yeah.
Thank you. A quick follow on the this topic. I want to explore the page 23. Also, we love this chart. You show that how your revenue from the key application. And if you look at the margin among those applications, which top two application would be the higher gross margin?
Thanks. Thank you for your compliment. So we have taken all your feedback into consideration, and as much as we can share without losing any competitive positioning, we will try to do that over time. So this is I must say that this is really a measurement best estimate. As you can imagine, you know, when we ship our tools to our customers, sometimes they will tell us what our tools are being used for. Sometimes they will not tell us for competitive reason. So we are just using our best guess, looking at the package, you know, looking at the business of our customers. We try to give shareholders and analysts an idea where our tools are being deployed, you know, for an application. So for 2021, this is the result. Now, to answer your question, I would say among here, I would say computers, because computers have a higher proportion of advanced packaging tools in there. Communication, okay, and automotive, okay, industrial, not in that order, but I'm trying to give you a sense of where, you know, our AP tools are being deployed. Now, our AP tools are not really deployed very much in automotive, because automotive is still a very conservative industry, okay? But however, automotive segment tend to command a better margin. So in terms of AP, we'll find a little bit more in computers, in communication. Industrial and automotive is because traditionally these two are a higher margin segment.
Got you. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. Can I next request Gokul from JP Morgan to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. My first question is on more near-term trends. If you look at bookings, booking has been declining for the last three quarters. If I look at the last couple of cycles, I think the last time it happened was back in 2018, ahead of a semi-down cycle in 2019. Could you talk a little bit about what we are seeing in terms of bookings? Is there anything specific that is happening which is leading to this kind of decline in bookings? And could you also talk a little bit more about wire bonding specifically, because some of your key customers have talked about reducing their capital outlay on wire bonding in 2022 after a very big increase in spend in 2021.
All right. Thank you, Gokul. Okay, so your first question is to know more on the booking. You acknowledge that the booking has been declining over the past three quarters. And what is the reason behind? And can we give more color about this and also a bit on the outlook? I will let Robin answer the first question, and then I will go on the wire bonding part.
Sure. Thanks, Rob. Now, you're right. If you look at 2021 booking trends, it has come down from Q1 to Q4. But we have to see in this context. Q1 2021 was a very high booking level. We are talking about crossing the $1 billion US dollar mark. So then it came down sequentially until Q4. And even at Q4, I must say that how much was Q4? Let me see. Q4 booking was how much? Anyway, I think Q4 booking was around 674 million. So that is not a low number traditionally, you know, in the Q4 quarter. So in our equipment business, you know, with such a high booking number that we experienced already in 2021, customers need time also to digest, you know, those equipment. But I can give you a little bit more color what we are seeing, you know, so far. Now, before that, I also want to point out to the fact that if you look into a longer term, how some industry experts are projecting our industry, the likes of SEMI and BRSRI, you know, they are still pretty bullish for 2022. In fact, between the both of them, they are still guiding or projecting, you know, a growth here for the SEMI side of between 4 to 14% on the back of a very strong year, very strong double digit. I think it was more than 60% or something like that, you know. So they are still quite, these two industry research houses are still quite bullish about the SEMI industry. So this will probably give you some idea how the, you know, the independent research houses are looking at our industry. The next question.
Yes. Your next question is more on wire bonders. You did highlight that you are witnessing some reducing capital outlay expected in 2022 by some key players. So you will want to know, based on that, the wire bonders outlook for us.
Yes. Now, yes, the good thing about ASMPT is that we serve a broad range of customers. So we are not heavily dependent on one or two customers. So the way we look at it is that, yes, wire bonders could run, you know, in last year. Now, if the industry continue to grow as predicted or forecasted by those independent research houses, from the base of 2021, so it's still going to be a high year according to their prediction. And in such scenario, the momentum so far in Q1 is strong, particularly for automotive. I must say that the demand is also very broad based. You know, so the way we see the business for SMT is now benefiting, actually. SMT business is now benefiting from the high output of packaged chips and devices coming out of the semiconductor supply chain in the last few quarters. That now these devices, this huge volume of devices, you know, now need to be placed onto PCB boards using SMT placement tools. I think these are some of the color I can give you, Pina, for at least so far we see so far into Q1. But for the full year of 2022, it's really difficult for us to forecast because of those challenges that we face in supply chain. And so I think this is something for you to take away. Yeah.
Thank you, Robin. Kena, your next question is more to provide an update and color on the materials business segment, and in particular, highlight on the performance and the margins.
Thanks, Rom. Now, our material business, JV or AMI, did very well for the first year. And this completely justified, you know, our decision, you know, to spin this off JV into a very capable hands of a JV partner. So they did so well. They meet all the pre-agreed EV target, you know, under the earn-out agreement. So much so that, you know, under the accounting rule or standards, you know, we have to book a revaluation gain of close to Hong Kong dollar 184 million to reflect this good performance of AMI, you know, for 2021 and also into the next couple of years. So with this performance, you know, we are more than likely, you know, able to increase our shareholding from 44.44% to around 49% in 2024, I believe. Yeah. So because they are on track to meet those targets, and under the earnout agreement, if they meet those targets, we were able to increase our share from 44 to 49%. And that's the reason under the accounting rule, we have to book those gains in the year 2021. So I hope I answered your question, Gina.
Thanks for clarification. And maybe I wanted to say is that because previously the performance side, maybe, we understood that you have this goal in accounting, but just like the Carla you mentioned, met already PAP the target. So should we expect this part should be also quite on track in terms of improving profitability, in line with those like initiatives you adjusted in the past. And one more follow-up is about the hybrid bonder that Goku also mentions. So because the previous year that you mentioned the hybrid bonder should come out in 2021, late 2021, and now you adjusted the delivery in 2022. And what's the changes here? It's like, is this because of like customer schedule or has something happened in terms of cooperation with like EV group and all things? Thanks.
Yes, I think for the, first question is AMI, right? Continue.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, the precisely because, the forecast is that they will continue to do well. That's why we booked the revaluation gain. Yes, we expect this, JV, to continue to do well. In fact, I must say that, they have increased their capacity, by adding additional plant, on top of what we have so far. So I think if this plant are fully operational by this year, we can expect the volume also to increase, of course, subject to the prevailing, industry condition. If the demand for leaf films continue to grow, I think this JV will continue to benefit from this. So yes, it is something positive in our opinion. Now,
Let me repeat the last question. The last question is on hybrid bonders. Kena noted that some of the hybrid bonders, which were supposed to be out in 2021, moved to 2022. Mm-hmm. So Kena just wants to know more on the reasons why that happened and what sort of change. Is it the customer schedules or are there any other reasons? So Robin needs to highlight on that. Thank you.
Thanks. Now, concerning a partnership with EV, it's proceeding very well. There's nothing changed from the expect. However, we must be aware that hybrid bonding is a very new tool, very new tool. And also being an advanced packaging tool, there is really no standard way of packaging. So there are a lot of deliberations, engagement with customers, exactly how this hybrid bonding tool will be deployed in order to package their devices. So there's a lot of all this engagement going on. So in any case, we are deepening our relationship and our engagement with all these tier one customers, and we should be able to deliver, the prototype, within this year. And as we have said earlier, for hybrid bonding, although we may not be the first, to deliver this tool, but we strongly feel that we are not late, because a hybrid bonding tool, is a nascent tool in our opinion, and it will take some time for this tool to mature. And based on our, channel checking with customers, we still believe that, we are on track, to deliver, in a more meaningful way in line with customer ramp up plan in 2023. So that's how we see the hybrid bonding situation.
Thank you, Robin. Next, can I request Sunny from UBS to unmute and ask your questions? Thank you.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. I'm really glad to see you are providing a lot more details for your business, and I believe that will be very helpful for investors to have better visibility on the company. So good job. Well done. So my first question is also on your hybrid bonders. So I think last week, one of your key competitors was very aggressive about this opportunity, announced to expand their capacity for this year. So I understand you just mentioned that you think you are not too late for the opportunity, but at this point, how would you evaluate your technology gap versus the industry leaders, and how's your capacity looking like versus the competitors as well?
Thanks. I think first and foremost, we will not comment on competitors' positioning. Okay, I think that's only being polite, you know. Now, as far as we are concerned, we focus on our own development. Now, we believe our partnership with EVG is the right one. If you recall, we mentioned EVG is a leader in terms of wafer-to-wafer bonding. They have been, their tools have been used for CMOS packaging for some years already. And they provide a wafer-to-wafer bonding capability as well as die preparation capability. Because in a hybrid bonding scenario, you know, the die and the substrate has to be very clean, you know, so they have the capability to clean before we do those hybrid bonding activities. So we believe we partner with the right team, you know, to push this hybrid bonding into the market. Now, we are developing, we are proceeding well. You know, as I said, we have been engaging a tier one customers, not just on the logic side, but also on the memory side. And as I mentioned before, this is a very new tool, you know, so the packaging, requirements are still evolving, you know, so it's different from customer to customer. And that also explains why it takes some time, you know, for us to come up with a tool for their qualification because of all these new innovation features that we have to incorporate into the tool. So I think, I hope that sort of gives you some color. Where are we in terms of hybrid bonding? Yeah.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Maybe a very quick follow-up is that we're seeing the logic customers that you are working with, are they mostly foundries and IDMs, or are you seeing any momentum from OSATs?
Yes, yes. I think for such tools, typically we see IDM and foundries will take the lead. You know, they will take the lead in this kind of capability before it start to proliferate down to the OSATs in the future.
Got it. My second question is on your lead time. I think back in October, you mentioned that on average, the lead time was about 4 to 5 months. Semi, roughly 5 to 6 months. Wonder how that's looking like at this point.
I would say if there is no supply chain constraint, it could be better. It could be better, but because of supply chain constraint, you know, even though we are ready, you know, in terms of technology, but we simply lack the component to put into our tools, you know, so that will hamper the lead time. So that's why it's very challenging. That's why I forgot to also answer Pina just now. You know, one of the factors that we could not really predict too far away is really the constrained environment in terms of the supply chain. Now, so coming back to your question, probably lead time is still around three to four months for semi and SMT, but for certain tools, as usual, those advanced packaging tools, the lead time typically will, you know, will stretch to beyond 6 months. So we have a mix of tools. So I can't give you an average, but I can give you some color. So mainstream tool, probably 3 to 4 months, but for certain advanced packaging tools, more than 6 months. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, can I request Dylan from Morgan Stanley to unmute and ask your questions? Hi, Dylan. We can't hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Now we can hear you. Yeah, go ahead and ask your questions. Thank you.
Thanks. Yes, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Yes, my first question is on the automotive side. Yeah, I wonder how the company reconciled the strong auto sales and versus this weak car production right now. And how do we think about the 2022 growth is going to be along with the car production recovering, especially for our automotive segment.
Okay. Hi, Dylan. Now, in terms of automotive, we say we believe this is a multi-year driven by automotive electrification, EVs, and so forth. Huh? So, yes, we also look at the car production. According to one research analyst, they are still thinking of a expansion in terms of car growth, vehicle car growth, passenger vehicle car growth this year. So that should bode well for the industry as well. Now, I must also highlight that for automotive industry, we don't just serve the customers that are in high volume. As you can see in one of our slides, we also mentioned that we engage much more customers compared to last year. And some of these customers are actually doing some prototyping, using our tools for future years production. So it's important for industry like them to engage customers early, because the characteristics of the automotive industry is that once they qualify your tools, they will use the tool for a long time to come because of safety reason. So it's important that we must continue to expand our customer base so that we serve both customers that are on high volume production now, as well as customers that are doing qualification of tools, which will generate significant future opportunity for us. So in this way, we feel that the automotive for us will continue to grow in years to come. Yeah,
I see. Thanks for that. Very helpful. My second question is also about the booking trend. As other analysts just suggested, that the booking trends continue to tone down in the past several quarters. And from what we can see right now, when do we expect this kind of a decline to end and probably to see some sort of a booking rebound? And what would be the driver here?
Yeah, I mentioned just now about I gave some color just now about so far we see in Q1. I know it's still early days. We are talking about perhaps just slightly one month of data. So it's still early days, but it's pretty encouraging so far, at least for ASMPT. The booking momentum is strong. And, the various areas that we look at will continue to underpin the booking, for us going forward. Like for TCB2, I don't want to mention everything, but I'm sure you heard what I said just now. So TCB, power, automotive. So we continue to see those main drivers, driving our business so far into Q1. Yeah, as I said, we can't really see beyond too far. But we have to take guidance from some of these industry experts. They are saying that our industry, the semi industry, will also continue to grow this year from a very high base already. So they're still predicting 4 to 14% growth this year. So it's not going to be small, for industry even for 2022. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Maybe a little follow up here. So in terms of Q1, as far as we know, is the booking momentum major driven by semi solutions or SMT segment? Because I noticed that our semi solution booking has continued to come down, and I'm not sure if in the first quarter we will see some sort of a rebound for semi solutions.
Yeah, as I said earlier, for SMT, we are pretty encouraged, by the SMT booking so far. We attribute this to really, the semi has been enjoying a boom run last year. So as a result, the supply chain has a lot of package and example chips that need to be put onto a PCB board. So we are benefiting from that the way we see it. That's why the SMT booking already in Q4 was high. which is quite unusual for us, also for SMT. Typically, Q4 booking is not a high quarter compared to Q3. But for SMT, Q4, we've seen Q4 booking increase over Q on Q. And this momentum so far into 1 month or so seems to be continuing, you know, for SMT. So I think that's the benefit, I must say, for ASMPT, you know, because we are spanning across the semi and the SMT segment, and the timing, you know, in terms of pick and throw are different. So that's just advantage of ASMPT from that perspective. And we took some pains to explain to analysts, you know, view us from that perspective. We are unique. You know, we have both a semi and SMT. So I hope I give you a little bit of color on how we see booking trending so far into Q1. Yeah.
Thanks, Robin. Next, can I request Donnie from Nomura to unmute and ask your questions?
Yes. Hi, Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, Donnie. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Congrats on the good result. And just the first question is pretty simple, because you have comment on the booking. So I'm just wondering if you are seeing the first quarter booking direction-wise could be a little bit improved from the fourth quarter level. Thank you.
A bit too early, Donnie, but if this momentum we see just on the first month, you know, possibly, but this is not a guidance. I hope don't treat this as a guidance, Donnie. We don't guide Q1 booking, but we just want to give you some color since you guys are so interested in Q1 booking so far. This is just some kind of color for you guys. So just purely on the momentum. It could be a high quarter, yes.
Okay, great, thank you. And same question, I'm interested in your comment on chip to substrate and chip to wafer TCB order wins in your prepared remarks. So may I ask a couple short follow-ups on this? So first, where are the order wins from same customer or different customers? And what are the regions these customers locate? And the second quick follow-up is that you are mentioning about that hybrid bonding equipment could be a high-cost solution for your customer. So does this imply that the chip-to-wafer TCB's ASP is lower, a little bit lower than hybrid bonding equipment in your perspective?
Yes, Donnie, you're right. Now, again, maybe on the TCB, I mentioned just now about the TCB being the closest in terms of technology compared to hybrid bonding. And for that reason, you know, if hybrid bonding takes some time to mature, TCB will still has its place in advanced packaging because either if you have a high-end packaging requirement at this point in time, okay, either you use a TCB or hybrid bonding. So first and foremost, I must say that we are capable, you know, for both solutions. Okay, needless to say, we are already a dominant leader in TCB. We are now coming up with hybrid bonding. So whichever takes off, you know, in a big way, we will stand to benefit, right? So, but as far as TCB is concerned, we are waiting for hybrid bonding to mature. It'll take some time, in opinion. You look at TCB. We started TCB probably 8 years ago, you know, right? It takes some time for new technology to mature because at the point when we introduced TCB, it was an expensive solution, say, compared to flip chip. At the point in time, flip chip is the closest to TCB, right? So it takes time for a new technology to mature. Of course, we hope that hybrid bonding can be different. If it's different, it can take off in a big way, in a fast time. We also stand to benefit. So now coming back to TCB, now while waiting for hybrid bonding to mature, TCB is the solution, you know, for increasing HPC needs. And we customers and us are pushing, continue to push the TCB technology envelope further and further. Now, TCB at this point in time is capable of maybe around 40 micron pitch and plus and minus 2 micron accuracy. It's already a very accurate tool. Just imagine a human hair is 100 micron thick. And so we are talking about very fine precision, you know, even for TCB tool. Now, we are pushing the envelope together with leading tier one customers to push down the bump pitch of TCB to 30 micron and below, and accuracy down to maybe even below 1 micron. So while we are pushing this envelope, you know, we are developing a hybrid bonding, right? So the way we feel is that TCB has a long runway, you know, for advanced packaging application, and being a dominant player in TCB, you know, we will stand to benefit.
And the first one you haven't answered is that where are the orders coming from? And is this the same and for the, because you comment chip to substrate and chip to wafer TCB in your prepared remarks, so I'm just curious if these are two separate projects or these are all from the same customer, you know, because it sounds like it's more than $100 million order if these are two different projects. So wondering if you can have some clarify here.
Yeah, so I think, Donnie, you know, we have been always very open. TCB, we have one very dominant customer, but we can't name them, okay, under very strict NDA. Yeah, so I think this is my response to you, yeah.
No problem. And last one from me is that I think you have seen that also companies this year are shifting more CapEx to testers and AP like flip chip. So just curious, are you seeing, for example, like die bonder order momentum start to pick up or not happening yet due to the substrate shortage? So when should we expect the order from AP like die bonder to pick up this year? Thank you.
Yeah, in general, die bonder also done very well. If I have not mentioned it in my call, okay, so when we talk about mainstream, we typically focus on two type of tools, die bonder and wire bonder, okay? So die bonder also did very well last year because in the high cycle, these are the two mainstream tools. Now, in terms of flip chip, we are very dominant in the low pin count flip chip area, you know? So this tool is also very strong, was very strong in year 2021. Yes.
Thanks, Robin. Next, can I request Frank to unmute yourself and ask your questions?
Thank you, guys. Just, I guess the first question was just on an earlier question or a discussion was on shortages, component shortages. Can you guys give us an update in terms of, I think you talked about earlier in some of the component shortages, maybe an improving and what the current outlook is like right now that it was a bottleneck in the past?
Hi, Frank. Yes, in our opinion, it's not improving at this point in time. In fact, it still continue to be very, very challenging. As I mentioned earlier, we could have guided our revenue to be higher if not because of component shortages. We have to defer some of our shipment to Q2, you know, because some of the components did not arrive in time. So what are we doing is really, you know, we are taking very proactive steps. You know, we engage not just our immediate supplier, but because most of these some of these components are actually our customers. So we engage directly some customers and ask them for help to deliver these components through their supply chain, you know, to ASMPT. So we are proactively managing this, but it's still very challenging. Now, on the longer term, you know, faced with this kind of challenge, you know, we also have we also took steps, you know, to see how we can redesign our products, you know, our modules, you know, our components, our modules using alternative components or materials. So this part of the activity we are currently, you know, engaging internally, just to make sure that we don't depend on just one or two sources, you know, to manufacture our tools. So these are the actions that we are taking. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any view in terms of when that component situation might start to improve? Do you guys have any kind of view on that?
Now, if you look at the number of new fabs, the IDMs of the world, you know, are talking about coming up, you know, I think in time to come, it will mitigate the situation. But unfortunately, all these new fabs take time, you know, to build and to really go into production. So probably take a little bit longer before this situation can be somewhat better. Yeah.
So it's unlikely, I guess, to be resolved in the next one or two quarters based on.
No, Frank, definitely no. I think we'll continue to face these challenges in the next two quarters. Yeah.
Okay. And then my second question is just in terms of your CapEx, I think your CapEx for this 2022 looks to be about maybe 70% higher than last year. But I guess you guys also talked about, you know, the visibility not being that long and your booking ratio for semis has continued to come down. So I was wondering, can you give us a little bit of guidance in terms of how the CapEx is going to be allocated?
Yes, it's a little bit higher, Frank, compared to maybe to 2020 and 2019. But you can imagine during those COVID-19 height, you know, we are also more conservative, more prudent in the way we manage our CapEx. So come to a point we have to renew some of our aging equipment in the plant, so we had to start to do that in 2021. And also, we also alluded to the fact that, you know, we will continue to increase or intensify our R&D, you know, so those also need new and more capable equipment in the lab, you know, in order to perform those activities. So those are mainly the drivers behind this year's CapEx, yeah.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you. I think we will take questions from two analysts more who are on the queue. Then we will have to end the call. So can I request Laura to please unmute yourself and ask your questions?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for your detailed presentation. I only have one question on competitive landscape. So we understand that China has been the biggest market for SMPT, but given rising local competition, how would SMPT to sustain your market share in China, in particularly in maintain your shares in mainstream wire bonding market? And also separately for the fast-growing advanced packaging and also automotive market, since your targeted clients might be more for IDMs or advanced foundry makers, how is your position comparing to your international competitors? That's my question. Thank you.
All right. So let me repeat the first question. You want to know more on the competitive landscape in the Chinese market. You noted that, you know, the local competition has been rising. So you want to know more color and more details from Robin's side.
Yes, thank you.
I think this competition is everywhere, you know. So the more lucrative the market is, the more competition. No, we just simply have to up our game, Laura. There's no magic formula, honestly. You know, in all equipment makers, you know, we must continue to innovate, you know, spend resources into R&D, which is our bread and butter, and push out new products that are faster, more accurate, and makes more sense in terms of COO, total cost of ownership for a customer. These are the three metrics that we continue to monitor. You know, otherwise, you know, anyone, you know, can be out of the game in this industry, you know, in the equipment industry. So I repeat, nothing new, competition is nothing new, whether it's in China or in other places. You know, we have to continue to be faster, more accurate, and improve our TCO for our customers.
Thanks, Robin. I think, Laura, your second question is more on the AP solutions. And to simply put it, it's you want to know how do we compare versus the international competitors. Do add you know, more color if you want.
Yes. Now, I think for AP, tools, at this moment, the competition are coming from international competitors. Now, I will just speak more on ourselves, right? Focusing really more on ASM. Now, if you look at page 15 of our presentation, now, what really differentiates us, you know, from our competitor is we offer a wide range of advanced packaging tools. Just like our business model for mainstream tools, you know, we also offer a wide portfolio. And this has worked well for us over the last 47 years. So we are replicating what we know best, how we do best in the mainstream side to the advanced packaging side. So you look at page 15, you know, we have a whole range of tools and we believe strongly that we have the most comprehensive suite of solutions to cater to all the advanced packaging needs of the industry. Okay, I hope that also answers your question, Laura.
Yes, thank you. That's very comprehensive. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Laura. For the last bunch of questions, can I request Simon from Bank of America to unmute yourself and ask your questions?
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Congrats on the great result. Very quick clarification, sir. You said you don't provide the guidance for the Q1 booking, but yeah, we appreciate sharing the color. But the definition, high quarter for Q1 means is kind of a quarter-on-quarter improvement in your booking kind of a trend? Thank you.
As I said earlier, Simon, I'm just purely looking at one month kind of data, yeah. You know. So looking at the momentum is really quite encouraging. Now, if this momentum continue, it can be a good quarter for Q1 booking for you know, for ASMPT as a whole. And as I said earlier, maybe worth repeating, we see SMT very strong because of the lagging effect. You know, a lot of chips need to be packaged onto the PCB board. And for IC and opto, we see certain segments are very strong. And also help in part, Simon, because we won the order, you know, the 100 million order, because the order, a significant portion of the order was booked in Q1. So that really helped us form a baseline, you know, for Q1 booking. I hope that helps.
Yeah. But it sounds much semi-solution related, more SMT related then.
No, SEMI is equally, I want to highlight SMT because it's entering a cycle, you know, because as I said earlier, you know, we experienced very strong cycle in the SEMI side. Now we are seeing SMT experience, you know, the cycle.
Yeah, very good. And then the very quickly, sir, page 22. Yeah, it's a great update for the memory market related, you know, trend. But the high bandwidth memory, even with the DDR5, do you see any meaningful order, equipment order increase for the, you know, new, more advanced memory for, I mean, the HBM3 type? I think it's a very early stage to see the, this kind of the new memory, you know, demand. But do you see the equipment order can be more meaningful for this area? I mean, the HBM, DRAM, die-stack, multi-stacking area. Thank you.
Yes, Simon, possibly, because if we look at the demand by consumers from, you know, for more and more data, so all this data has to be kept somewhere, you know, have to be kept in the memory. So memory will continue to grow. That's why this strategic breakthrough by ASM in this space is kind of timely. You know, we have never been strong in the memory market, but with this recent breakthrough in terms of wire bonder for key customers and also for this particular application using our TCB to stack HBM3, you know, we are seeing some good sign, you know, for ASMPT in this memory market. Yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, thank you very much. You know, wire bonder, yeah, some analysts already asked, you know, very traditional, you know, the tool methodology for the backend. But the, again, this presentation material, page 22, a wire bonder for the NAND flash, you think it will be the continuously the necessary tool, no need a further more advanced, you know, backend equipment for NAND flash, it was still sufficient with the current wire bonder. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, typically, if you look at the memory space, there are two types. And we have the DRAM and the NAND, right? So the way we see it is that NAND typically do not require advanced packaging tools. You know, they are more using wire bond, you know, because they don't need kind of high speed, you know, transfer of data, you know, because it's really keeping the memory in just NAND. It's a permanent memory. Whereas DRAM is different. DRAM has to interact with the logic chip constantly. So it has to be faster. And because of that, DRAM typically, sometimes they do still use wire bond, but DRAM, we see more flip chip application for DRAM.
Very clear, sir. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon. And I think with that, we want to officially end this call. We would like to thank all of you for attending today's investor conference call. And there was quite a good bunch of questions posted to us. We hope to see you during the next quarter's call. In the meantime, please take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.